Well, good morning. It's always a privilege to be here, and I thank you for the opportunity to share God's Word with you, and it's a real privilege. I'm going to start off by sharing part of a quote from another brother by the name of Paul Tillich, L-I-C-H. I'm only going to share part of that quote with you, and then, Lord willing, I'll try to remember to share the other part of the quote with you. This is from an individual named Paul Tillich. Language has created the word loneliness to express the pain of being alone. So my topic today is going to be a subject. I was actually shocked when I looked on the internet of how many people are affected by loneliness. Loneliness, not a very popular subject, but it's a very relevant subject, especially in the times we live in. All the stress and all the things in this world to infringe on our lives. And we need to remember where loneliness began, how it got its start. It all goes back to the garden. After Adam and Eve sinned, and now man is separated from God. And of course, all people born into this world are also separated from God until the Lord Jesus would come and he would change things. But actually, loneliness began when man fell in the garden. That's where it began. Now, when I looked up on the internet, I was shocked. They didn't give me any precise statistics, but they said that over half of Americans are affected by loneliness. They said maybe even three out of every four people are affected by loneliness. And when I think about loneliness, it has respect for no age. Some people might think it only affects the single people. It affects married people as well. I have actually heard brothers and sisters who are married say they felt lonely. And I'm thinking to myself, how could that be? How could that be? You know, so loneliness is something that affects it not only non-believers, but it also affects believers. And perhaps today, even in the audience, even if you're married, you might be experiencing loneliness right now. It's a sad thing. It's a real thing. And as long as you and I are still in these sinful bodies and still in these sinful worlds, that we can be affected by loneliness. And of course, for all who know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, He's the great oppressor. And if you're feeling lonely, He will help you to feel even more lonely, because he's an oppressor. So what's the cure? Well, the other half of the statement, I said language has created the word loneliness to express the pain of being alone, but it has also created the word solitude to express the glory of being alone with God in his word and prayer. And so the real answer to loneliness, For you, any audience who know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, the real answer to prayer of loneliness is to pick up this book. And how God can minister to you and I in that circumstance, and how he can really minister to us and help us to overcome our loneliness. The title of my message is a borrowed line from a hymn, No, Never Alone. And Lord willing, we'll look at that at the end of my message. And my opening text is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, part of the verse. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. So how do we deal with loneliness? What do you do? What do I do? What's the cure? Where can I go? Now, I will share again with you, I believe I don't have the gift of expository preaching, so this is a topical message. I hope it will be a tremendous blessing to you, because we're going to talk about promises. What I love about Hebrews 13:5, we'll just read the last part of the verse. And the interesting part about the verse is God is speaking. In Hebrews 13:5, I'm reading from the King James. For he, meaning our God, has said, he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's an unconditional promise. If you and I, and anybody in the room who knows the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, that's a promise you can take to the bank. It is impossible for God to ever leave you or forsake you. Do you believe that? That's an unconditional promise. Now, what I'm not saying is you may still feel alone, or I don't feel like, or you know that God's with me, but the reality is he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise, okay? Now, the Bible gives us five unconditional promises that we are never, never alone, anytime, anywhere, or any place, or in anything, which we need to not only remember, but we also need to rest in. And these promises we're looking at, wherever God places a period, wherever God places a period, don't put a question mark. So we're going to look at five unconditional promises. Now, some of these promises are Old Testament, but we can certainly use the application, okay, because we have a better covenant on better promises. Well, what are these five unconditional promises? We have the promise that our God is in us. It's called the indwelling of the Trinity. We have the promise that our God is in us. Notice the preposition, in us. We have the promise that our shepherd, our Savior shepherd, is with us day by day. We have the promise that that our shepherd goes before us day by day. We have the promise that our shepherd is behind us day by day. And we also have the promise that our shepherd is for us day by day. And what I mean by for us is called in our life struggles. He is for us. No matter what your circumstance or my circumstances is, God is for us. So we have these five unconditional promises, okay? Well, the first one, we have the promise that our God indwells us. I'm lost in wonder that God would choose to dwell in sinful beings like you and I. I'm lost in wonder, but nonetheless, he does. First of all, we have the promise that the Holy Spirit is in us. If you want to turn to Ephesians 1:13, we have the promise that the Holy Spirit is in us. Now, again, this is not an expository sermon, so we're going to be doing, what do you call it, a Bible, when you go all over the scriptures. What do you call that? Sword drill. Yes. Okay, I love Ephesians 13 personally. I will read that to you, talking about the Holy Spirit. In whom you also trusted. Notice the sequence of words. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that after you believed, and notice his promise, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I love that. So there was a point in my life when I heard the gospel. I came under conviction of sin, that I was lost, I couldn't save myself, and I placed my little faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So after I heard the gospel, the instant I believed that gospel, it says you were sealed. That's an instant transaction. It's in the twinkling of an eye, in an atom of a time. And if you did the same thing, it says you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, a promise. And that's a seal that's impossible to break. That is a seal that is impossible to break. And I think the illustration is likened to when when Noah and everybody was in the ark and God closed the door. That door could not be opened until what? they would come in dry land. So we have the promise of the Holy Spirit in us. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for his ministry. I'm thankful for his presence. We have the Savior in us. I'll just quote the verse. Colossians 1:27, part B, Christ in you. What? The hope of glory. Christ in you, in me, the hope of what? Glory. What a blessed hope we have. Christ in you, in me, all who believe in him alone, the hope of glory. And I am looking forward to glory. I'm looking forward to that. And then we also have the Father in us, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll read a couple of those verses. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read 4, 5, and 6. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and I love verse 6, one God and Father of all, and I love these three promises, who is, above all, and through all, and in you all. We have the presence of the great three in one in each of our lives. Spirit, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know and remember? Now, I'm not so sure about this next statement. I don't know if it's Newton's law or it's a physical law. It says, did you know that no two objects can occupy the same space? Well, how can God, the Trinity, indwell us if no two physical objects can occupy the same space? Well, now we're talking about the supernatural realm. Well, that's no problem for God. The wonder that he occupies our hearts, our lives, our souls, our being. I am so thankful for that. The wonder that he occupies our lives. He actually indwells in our hearts in a supernatural way. Wow. That is so precious. Well, the question I would ask myself, and I would ask you concerning these scriptural, this unconditional promises, are you, am I resting in the reality of these personal promises? Are we resting in that? God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, not only do we have the promise that God himself indwells us, he's in us, we have the promise that our shepherd, Savior, is with us day by day. He is with us in the valley, he is with us in the wilderness, and he is with us even in our wanderings. He is with us in the valley, Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Ever since the instant, the day, the event, you and I trust the Lord Jesus, he is with us. And I love the preposition with us. It implies that he's right next to us, step by step. Isn't that precious? He is with us in the valley. And what I like about Psalm 22, 23, and 24, it starts off with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that reminds us of the hill of Calvary. Then you got Psalm 24, talks about the hill of the Lord. So you got these two hills. You got the beginning of our salvation, and you got the hill of glory, or heaven. So what do you got when you got between two hills? You got a valley. And you and I are going through that valley. And he says he's with us all the way, every step. Wow, that is precious. He is with us through the wilderness of this world. Isaiah 43. Please turn to Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 5. I like some of the descriptions in this passage, even though it's pertaining to Israel. But by application, we can say it applies to us. Excuse me, Isaiah 43. He's with us in the valley. And as we go through the wilderness of this world, this moral desert, this moral wilderness, and things are getting worse. What a barren moral desert we're going through. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 5. But now, talking about Israel, but now thus saith the Lord, but by application we can take it too. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Notice verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And some of you might be going through waters right now. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved you. How much more precious are we in the sight of our Savior? How much more precious are we, the one who died on the cross for you and me? How much more precious are we to Him? So when we go through the waters, we go through the wilderness, we go through the fire, all the storms of life, He says, I am with you. I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, He's even with us in our wanderings. Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. I don't remember what the hymn was. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty good at wandering from my Savior. And if you're honest, you can say you're pretty good at wandering from Him too. Because what? The things of this life, you know, all the troubles and cares and the bills and the worries and all this. We have a tendency to take our eyes off the Lord and we wonder. Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. I love verse 8. This book which you and I hold in our hand, it's not, well, you know, we got the whole book, of course, Old Testament, New Testament. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Lord, help us that we may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with you, wherever you go or wherever you wander. Boy, I'll bet Joshua really loved that when he said that to him. He says, I'm with you wherever you go. Now, of course, we're supposed to follow him, but we sometimes get off the path a little bit, don't we? We go astray, don't we? He says, I'm with you wherever you go. Can we sometimes go astray? Can we sometimes be out of the will of God? Yes. And He's still with us. Now, that's not the best choice. But you and I are prone to wander. And He says, I'm still with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I like this little quote by Edward Pilafont. I don't have a clue who he is or who he was. And it goes something like this. I love this little poem. This old book, is my guide. 'Tis a friend by my side. It will lighten and brighten my way, and each promise I find soothes and gladdens my mind as I read it and heed it each day. What a friend, besides we have in Jesus, what a friend you and I have in this book right here. What a friend we have. Are we reading our Bibles? Do we make that an everyday practice? Do we seek the Lord's face every day? God help us. Because He has the ability to, when we pick up this book and read it, to minister to us and remind us of a lot of things that, you know, we're never alone. I love that. I love that. This old book is my guide. 'Tis a friend by my side. And all we have to do is pick it up, especially when we're having our troubles or whatever it is. Well, I thank God again for reminding us through these scriptures that we are never, never alone. But the question I would ask you again, and I ask myself, are you and I resting in the reality of these promises? Are we resting in reality that God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Well, not only do we have the promise that our God indwells us and that our shepherd goes with us day by day, we have the promise that our shepherd, and I got a different preposition now, he goes before us day by day. When it comes to a new day, the reality is we don't know what's gonna take place. But think about that. When we wake up each morning, the Lord Jesus is going right before us. Now we can't see Him, we can't feel Him, we can't hear Him, but the reality is He's going before us day by day. He leads us in the paths of righteousness, Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2, if you'd like to turn there. Everybody loves Psalm 23. I love these promises. Excuse me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I shall not lack. He makes I to lie down in green pastures. He leads us. Notice the verb. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our soul. Thank God He saved our soul, but He daily what? Restores our soul. He leads me, He leads you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So the verb leads implies that what? He goes before us. Isn't that a wonderful piece to know that with each day, wherever you and I, even sometimes we go astray, that He's still before us? Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? He goes before us. To complement those verses, turn to John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. To complement those about our shepherd, John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. He goes before us. Obviously talking about the great shepherd in verse 3, to him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And you know what I love about my Bible is when I make the effort to pick it up, we can hear what? His inaudible voice. Are we listening to the voice of scriptures every day? And it reminds us, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That is so precious. One of my favorite hymns, one of my many favorite hymns, is by Fanny Crosby, who interestingly was blind. All the way my Savior leads me. What can I ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercies, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell, for I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. Just think about that. He goes before us. And where He leads us, regardless of what we think or feel, He's doing all things well, and He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, I would ask the question again. I ask myself, I'm going to ask you again, are you and I resting in the reality of this personal promise also? So, He is in us. God is in us. He's with us. He's before us. And now, number four, we have the promise that our shepherd is behind us day by day. Turn to Isaiah chapter 52, and let's look at verse 12. The Lord is behind us. He's in us. He's with us. He's before us. He's behind us. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 12. Excuse me. Now, again, it's a reference to Israel, but by application, we can claim this too. Isaiah chapter 52, I hope that's verse 12. Verse 12, for you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will, here's a reminder again, go before you. And the God of Israel will be your rear ward or rear guard. Our shepherd is behind us as well. What a comfort that is to know that He is behind us as well. Now, in 1966, I got a notice in the mail asking me to volunteer for the Army. It's called drafted, you know. And they invited me to join the Army. And so 50 years ago, I thought, okay, now I'm in the military. I'm automatically in infantry. Well, I did not end up in infantry. I thank God for that. And they told us to try to soothe our fears a little bit. If you do end up in infantry, if you do, for every 3 men on the front line, there are 7 men behind you. And I thought to myself, well, that sounds good. You're on the front line, but there's 7 behind you. I said, well, that sounds good. You know, and so we have the whole army behind us. But you know what? Our God is better than any army. Do you agree with that? You could take all the armies of the world and put them together, and our God is greater than all the armies of the world put together. And I'm so thankful that the Trinity is behind us. You know, God our Father, God the Son, God, well, I mean, it talks about the shepherd there, but He's behind us. He's behind us, and He's greater than all the armies. And so I have a better peace than that. By the way, I'm going to add another one because I'm not allowed to give you 6 things. I'm only allowed to give you 5 at the maximum. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, and that's a homiletical device. You aren't allowed to get 6. I always laugh when preachers say, well, I got 10 thoughts today or 10 points. I'm like, oh, wow, 10. You know, if I remember 2, I'm doing good. But anyway, I'm going to give you a 6th one before we go to the last one. As a mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people. His presence surrounds us. We got God in us. We got our shepherd with us. We got our shepherd before us. We got our shepherd behind us. And His presence surrounds us. And then my last one is, we have the promise that the shepherd, and notice the preposition, is for us day by day. Do you have any struggles? Do you have any daily battles and struggles? It's called warfare. It's called warfare. When you and I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the warfare begins. Satan, the great oppressor, does a thing called fiery darts. Fiery darts. Every day he shoots those fiery darts. Now, Satan is not omnipresent, but we have our demons, don't we? And those fiery darts, doubts, worries, cares, fears, problems. How am I, what are we going to do? Well, we have the promise that our shepherd is for us day by day. Let's turn to Romans 8, 31 through 39. This passage just thrills my soul. It is one of the greatest passages of security. Security. I love Romans 8, 31 and 39, and there's three precious promises in this passage. That there's no who, what, or where that can separate you or I from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We'll conclude by reading Romans 8, 31 through 39. And give me a minute to get there. Romans 8, 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, and he is, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, and even now who is making intercession for us. Who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, are you persuaded, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate you and I from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the beauty of this passage, there's no who that can separate you and I from the love of God. Verses 38 and 39. Now, obviously, it's talking about angels, and it's talking about the hierarchy of demons, and it's talking about any other creature, any other mortal. There's no who that can separate you and I. Now, I'm not saying they can't make our life miserable, but they still can't separate us. Sometimes even as Christians, we make each other miserable. Now, when we go to work or we go, to school or whatever, yeah, people without Christ can make our lives miserable. And Satan, his demons can help us, but they can't separate us. Impossible. There's no what that can separate us. Verses 35 and 38. They give us a couple examples. Shall tribulation, shall distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. And what other verse I say? Verse 38. So there's no what that can separate you and I from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there's no where or no distance can separate you and I from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that precious? Isn't that precious? It's impossible for you and I to be separated from the love of God. Now, I'm not saying that, we can still feel like we are, And Satan will help you, but it's impossible. He is with you and I every single step of the way. In everything, in all places, in all times, in all things. He's with us. I'm so thankful for these things. Okay, if you turn in your hymn books to number 607, we will conclude. Well, I will conclude with reading the words of number 607. And the author is unknown. Excuse me. This hymn is in an area of the book called Encouragement. Never alone. How many times discouraged we sink beside the way? About us all is darkness. We hardly dare to pray. Then from the mist and shadows, the sweetest voice ever known says, "Child, am I not with thee, never to leave thee alone? O soul, hast thou forgotten the tender word and sweet of him who left behind him the print of bleeding feet? Jesus says, I never will forsake thee, O child, so weary grown. Remember, I have promised never to leave thee alone. Take courage, wayworn pilgrim. The mist and shadow hide. The face of him thou lovest, he's ever at thy side. Reach out thy hand and find him, and lo, the clouds have flown. He smiles on you and I who promised never to leave thee alone." No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. No, never alone. I am so thankful again for the scriptures that remind me of these five things. He is in us. Our God is in us. He is our shepherd is with us day by day. He goes before us day by day. He's behind us day by day. And yes, he is for you and I day by day. That's a lot to be thankful for, isn't it? That we can claim that promise. No, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the precious word of God. Besides the Lord Jesus, what a friend we have in him, that we also have a tremendous friend in our Bible. Tis a friend by our side, tis a friend to guide, tis a friend to hope and encourage us and remind us how great you are. And Father, thank you. When I think of that verse, "For all the promises in you in Christ are yea and amen." Thank you that it's impossible for you to fail us nor forsake you. Thank you for that tremendous peace that you give us, which the world cannot give. Thank you for all these blessings. We want to praise your name. And Lord, help us to be strong today as we go through the wilderness of this world. And help us to never forget our blessed Savior. And thank you that we are never alone. And we give thanks in your precious name. Amen. Turn it off. Okay. I never could figure it out.